Jesus Christ was crucified for us, and he died on the Passover steak on Passover Day. Some say that he died of a broken heart. You can go online and you can read all kinds of scenarios about the broken heart and how his heart filled with water and all of this. Others say that he suffocated. Others say that he really didn't die, but he faked his death with some kind of drug. And then later on, the disciples resuscitated him, and he came back to life. And this is the plot behind that book that was published back in the 1980s called The Passover Plot. I don't know if you ever read it. I did. Not a very well-written book, but anyway, that was one of the ideas, was that he had drugged himself. You remember when they gave him the vinegar on the end of the stick? It was actually a drug that put him to sleep. And so there's all kinds of ideas. Question, is the manner of his death even important? And can anyone really know? Well, to become the Savior of mankind, Jesus would have to die. We know that. But what most people don't know is that he had to die in a particular way. He had to take on the sins of mankind, and he had to die in a certain way. Today, we're going to answer the question, how did Jesus die? Did he die because of suffocation? Did he die because of a broken heart? And all of these kinds of things. First thing we need to consider, and I'm going to be taking a little bit more time than normal for sermonette, but I think this is an important subject. But the first point we have to look at is that Christ had to shed his blood. Christ could not have asphyxiated or suffocated, because if he would have, he would not have shed his blood. So the first point is that Christ, as a Passover, had to have his blood spilt. He had to pour out his blood. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 is the Passover, the first one, as they were leaving Egypt, the one that was under the hand of Moses, directed by Moses, but given the instructions from God to Moses. And in Exodus chapter 12, notice what was to be done to the blood of the Passover lamb. And they shall take, verse 7, some of the blood, and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. So they were supposed to take the blood of the lamb and place it on the lintel. If the lamb had been suffocated, there would have been no blood. If the lamb had been electrocuted, there would have been no blood. If the lamb had been drowned, there would have been no blood. So the lamb's throat was cut, the blood poured out, they gathered it in basins, and they put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the house. The death angel saw the blood and passed over that house. So blood was necessary. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Very important principle. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood, or purified with blood, excuse me. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If you look at the sacrifices of the Old Testament, all the animal sacrifices involved the shedding of the blood. The animal was usually had his throat cut, then the blood was gathered in basins. For whatever purpose the blood was used, some offerings of blood was used for different things. For example, the lamb during the Day of Atonement, his blood was poured on the, taken into the holy place, and all the blood was poured out on the ground, somewhere by the basin of the altar, or the base of the altar. So here it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no payment. And then let's look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, you remember Noah, the flood, the rainbow, there's not going to be any flood anymore to destroy humanity. Genesis chapter 9, instructions given to Noah by God after the flood was over. Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. As members of God's church, we can also read Acts 15 where it says avoid blood. That not only means avoid blood by, you know, murder and all that, but avoid blood in your diet. We're not allowed to eat blood. Cannot eat the blood of beef blood or, you know, any kind of blood, much less pork. So we're to avoid blood. Why? Because the life is the blood. Notice the next verse. Surely for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. If somebody's blood is poured out because they're murdered, that's what it's saying, I'm going to demand a reckoning. There's going to have to be a payment made. From the hand of every beast, I will require it. In other words, if an animal kills a man, you're supposed to kill the animal. It's taught throughout the Old Testament. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. So if you murdered someone, the murderer's brother was the executioner. And he was allowed to execute you, take your life. There's all kinds of instructions for that later on. Verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Now I want you to notice something that in verse 4, blood and life are the same. Life is equal to blood, and blood is equal to life. You know, you got somebody that's in a car wreck, one of their arteries is cut. The first thing you have to do before you do anything else is you have to stop the bleeding. Because a few seconds of blood pumping out, and they're going to be dead. And blood only comes out of a body if the heart is beating. Now, it'll seep out of a body, but it'll actually spurt out of a body if the blood is pumping, if the heart is pumping. So the blood and life are one and the same. So the life of Jesus was his blood. And if Jesus was a Passover lamb, which he was, and there's many scriptures that show that, then Jesus had to die the way the Passover lamb died. You remember the instructions about not breaking his legs? And why weren't his legs broken? Well, because he was already dead. We're going to get there. But another reason was so the prophecy would be fulfilled, because the Passover lamb was not supposed to have any bones broken. So Jesus couldn't have any bones broken in his legs. And how did the Passover lamb die? The Passover lamb died by having its blood shed. So if Jesus was a type of the Passover, then Jesus would have to die by shedding his blood. So the first point is, blood was required in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There had to be some blood spilt, and the blood specifically, obviously, of Jesus. Second point, how was Jesus' blood shed? How was Jesus' blood shed? Let's go to Matthew 27. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And in Matthew 27, we have the crucifixion account. Also in Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew's going to serve our purpose. Matthew 27. Verse 49. Jesus is hanging on the cross. In verse 47, he's talking about Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, verse 46. They hear Eli, which means God, Elohim, and they think of Elijah. They're not hearing him right. Maybe he's mumbling. Maybe they're far away. So they say he's calling for Elijah. You know, that prophecy in the Bible about Elijah must come before the coming of the day of the Lord. Maybe he's calling for Elijah. Elijah's going to come out of heaven. Had all kinds of weird ideas back then. Verse 7, 47. Some of those who stood there, when they heard this, that he said, this man is calling for Elijah, immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it in a reed, and offered him to a drink. Then the rest, in verse 49, said, let him alone. Don't give him anything to drink. Let's hear what he says. Leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And then the next sentence is, and Jesus cried out, so he yells out, with a loud voice, and then he yields up the spirit. The spirit is the word pneuma. Breath. He yielded up the breath. You know, he didn't have some immortal soul that went up to heaven or to paradise. He breathed his last. Now, there's something very interesting about verse 49. It is not complete in the King James and in most translations. And most translations, it says what it says here in verse 49. It says, let him alone. let us see if Elijah will come to save him. There's part of the scripture that has been left out, and it should read as follows. So let me read you the complete verse as it should be in the Bible. It is this way in most of the ancient texts. In some of the recopy texts, it's left out for various reasons. We're not going to get into that. But there's part of the scripture missing. In Matthew 27, verse 49, it should read, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And another took a spear and pierced his side, and water and blood came out. Now, if that scripture's not in there, there's nowhere in there that's in here that says that his blood was spilt. That's why you get all kinds of ideas about him suffocating and about his heart, you know, rupturing and all of these sort of medical ideas. And what actually happened in verse 49, he's calling for Elijah. One of the soldiers takes his spear and stabs him, pierces his side. And what happens? Out gushes all this water in his abdomen, bladder, and in his spear tip cuts some arteries, out flows the blood. And that's the reason in verse 50 that he cries out. You've got this stab jabbed up your side. You're going to yell. So he cries out, and then he dies. Why does he die? Because he's lost all this blood. So the point is this. In the way it's written here, you don't see the fact that someone speared Jesus' side because this verse is incomplete. Let me read you this verse out of the Moffat translation. This is a Moffat, verse 49 through 50. But the other said, "Stop, let us see if Elijah comes down to save him." Seizing a lance, another pricked his side, and out came water and blood. Jesus again uttered a loud scream and gave up the spirit. That makes perfect sense. Let me read you out of the Fenton translation. "Let him alone. Let us see whether Let him alone. Let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." But another, taking a spear, pierced his side. When blood and water came out, Jesus, however, again called out with a loud voice, resigning his spirit. So what actually happened, you have to remember, Jesus had to shed his blood. If we read this without that additional scripture, there's nowhere in here that it says he shed his blood. And so you have all kinds of ideas of how he died. What really happened is Jesus was speared by a Roman soldier. His side was pierced. Out comes the bodily fluids, including blood. And he dies of the loss of blood, just like a Passover lamb did. Do you remember when he was with the disciples? And there was doubting Thomas. And he said, "Look, put your hand into my side, into this wound here." Big old gaping wound where the spear had hit him. Now, let's consider something. In different translations, although the verse is not complete, in the footnote of these different translations, it has that this verse is incomplete. The following translations, if you have the American Standard Version, there's a little footnote down there saying that this verse is incomplete. If you have the New American Standard Bible, there's also a footnote in there. If you have the Revised Standard Version, there's also a footnote in there. If you have the New Revised Standard Version, it's also in there, a footnote. And this missing text is in all the ancient manuscripts. Let me get to real quickly and tell you what happened. The Catholics left part of the scripture out to further their agenda. And you can go online and read about that. We don't have time to discuss that here. But this scripture, part of it was left out. Now, consider the allied scripture in John. In John. Let's go to the book of John. And in John chapter 19, we have the same details given. John chapter 9, verse 31. John chapter 19. Verse 31. You see, where it says that Jesus' side was pierced. Some will say that his side was pierced after he was dead. But actually, the piercing of his side caused him to die. Verse 31. "Therefore, because it was a preparation day," the Passover is a preparation day, the first day of unleavened bread, "that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was not a regular weekly Sabbath. It was a high Sabbath, first day of unleavened bread. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Your legs are crossed and you're pinned through your ankles to the bottom of the stake of the cross. And in order to breathe, you push up on the pin. You can imagine the pain. And once you stop pushing up, you stop being able to take a breath. If your legs were broken, the bones wouldn't let you push up anymore, and you suffocated. Jesus was not going to die by suffocation. He was going to die by having his blood shed. Verse 32, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other, the two thieves who were crucified with him. Why? Because they were still alive. Why? The Jews, being so sanctimonious, didn't want these bodies polluting the landscape, even though they were the ones that put them up there. Self-righteous hypocrites. But they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. You remember the prophecy? Not a bone shall be broken. Verse 34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side, making you think that this happened afterwards. But the problem is, they've left off the tense. So it should read in verse 34, but one of the soldiers had pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water had come out. That's the way it should read. It had happened before. So what verse 34 is showing us is that the blood and the water came out, and that's what caused his death, because it was done before his legs were broken. Verse 35, and he who has seen his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. How important was it that any of his bones would be broken? Very important. How important do you think it would be that his blood be spilled? Very important. So, what had happened is his blood had already been spilled because a soldier had taken a spear, jammed it up his side, out came water and blood. He screamed with a loud cry and gave up the spirit, or the breath, and he died. Just like scriptures show, his blood was shed. Now, when you see what's happened here, the following scriptures make sense. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We're going to look at Isaiah 53, and we're going to look at verse 8. This is a prophecy about Jesus. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. You know what the word stricken means? He received a stroke. Spear stroke. Sword stroke. So something stroked him, which was the lance of the spear. That's what killed him. Let's go to verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He had to pour out his soul unto death. You see the word soul? And notice he was numbered with the transgressors, bore the sins of many, etc. But notice, he poured out his soul. The word soul is the word nephesh. It is translated in other places of the Bible, life or blood. So Jesus Christ poured out his blood. He poured out his life. He had to, because that's what the Passover lamb did. And he was fulfilling the requirements of the Passover lamb. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. You and I have murdered Jesus Christ, brethren, because of our sins. You and I are the ones that speared Jesus, that caused him to have to die. If it had been for us, that wouldn't have happened. Our sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who have pierced him. Why does it say that? Because he died from a piercing. It doesn't say every one of those who helped suffocate him. He was pierced through with a spear. That's why it says that. And all of the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. They're going to be so happy when Jesus Christ returns that they give up their own ways and their own governments. No, they're going to be angry that he's coming. Zechariah chapter 12. Lots of scriptures where it talks about him, his piercing, or being pierced, or received a stroke. Zechariah chapter 12. Second to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12. And in verse 10. And I will pour out, and I will pour on the house of David, and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his own son. Everyone in here, brethren, everyone that's going to see him return, are responsible for him being stabbed with that spear. Because his blood had to be shed to cover our sins. The scriptures hearken back to the fact that a spear thrust killed Jesus. Jesus didn't fake his death. Jesus didn't die of a suffocation. He didn't die of a broken heart. He died of having his life, his nephesh, his soul, his blood poured out. The spear thrust caused his blood to be shed. Jesus Christ was our Passover lamb. He fulfilled the requirements that were required of the Passover lamb. There were several requirements. He was perfect and sinless, just like the Passover lamb. His bones were not broken, just like the Passover lamb. He had the attitude of a lamb as he faced death and the crucifixion. He never fought back. He never tried to get his own way. He never pulled out his 9mm to try to defend himself. Jesus Christ willingly, like a little lamb, went to death. You ever butchered a lamb? Very docile animal. Throat is cut very quickly. No fighting, no antagonism. That's the way Jesus was. And as a Passover lamb, his death was by the shedding of blood. Jesus Christ did not die of a broken heart. He died by a spear thrust to the side, which caused his blood to be shed. And this is very important because through the shedding of his blood, we are offered salvation.